This program is paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.
WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. This is Investor Schooling Live with your host, Larry Steinhaus, CEO of Investor Schooling.
Good afternoon and welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Investor Schooling Live is transmitting from the Investor Schooling Studios here in Investor Schooling headquarters. I am not Larry Steinhaus. I am Dr. Deb, and I am not the CEO of Investor Schooling, but I might as well be on the board because, you know, I do everything for here anyway. Thanks for listening in and get ready to learn real estate investing, stock options trading, and so many more things about money that I bet you didn't know. You can call us anytime during the show with your questions at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. And I'll do it one more time because Larry always does it three times. 855-939-1137. Okay. That's right. We are a live program, so you can call anytime during the show and we will take your calls. Do not worry about the topic. We will take your call about anything that has to do with money, finances, but we are not doing politics today. We are also live on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, and you can leave comments there. If you're watching online, please say hi. That's the only way we know that you are watching is when you make a comment. So say hello to us so we know you're there. At Investor Schooling, we teach real estate investing, stock options trading, how to save money in taxes, how to be financially free, and we even give you the motivation to make money work for you instead of you working for money. And Investor Schooling, wow, there's a lot to write in this whole thing to read. There's a lot here. Okay, we have to change this. All right, anyway. All right, Investor Schooling is located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, right off the Newtown Bypass, serving the New Jersey and greater Philadelphia areas in a real brick-and-mortar building. Our students are also located in several states with our exclusive web access to our classes and seminars. Get ready to learn something new. Get ready to learn the business of entrepreneurship, real estate investing, and stock options trading from your friendly neighborhood financial expert. And we're going to go with Dr. Dev on this one today. All right. I think that's it, right?
I think so. So all thank you very much for being with us. It was a great show today.
Oh, and that's it? We're leaving now?
I don't know. It sounds like...
I know. It's
it
like,
was never that long.
I think we need to talk to him about how lengthy this thing is, because I was just kind of reading from the lines, and I actually stopped when it started going over stuff.
That there is more.
There is more, but I know that I don't think I'm supposed to read the rest of it.
Okay.
All right. All right. I guess there is. Maybe there's a... I don't know. He printed this out and whatever. I'm not gonna go with the rest of it.
So as you figure out, Larry is not here with us today. It's Dr. Deb.
It's Dr. Deb and Omri.
And Omri.
And then you spell that O-M-R-I.
That's the
knows.
Name that nobody knows how to pronounce.
Yeah, so in case nobody knows.
Known
yeah.
as the worst landlord ever.
Yeah. Larry's out partying. He's on a cruise to the Bahamas, I think, right?
You like pina colada. But that's what he's doing right now. We all know. Yeah. With the umbrella.
With the umbrella.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. I don't know. He always drinks, whenever him and Phil go out, they always get martinis. The two of them always get martinis. Pinkies up, right?
Pinkies up.
They get martinis.
So, Deb.
Yes.
You arrived late today.
You
arrived late.
So,
and when I called you to ask where you are,
I yelled at you.
You started to yell at me. And so, I love when people are yelling at me.
Okay. So,
except I don't. So tell me what happened. Tell all of us what happened.
So I have to calm down, actually. I'm really working hard on it. So I apologize to Glenn because I was yelling at Glenn into the microphone also. And I was yelling at Omri when I picked up. Because Omri calls me because I'm supposed to be here at 1:30. And it was, I set my alarm because I was actually working. And then all this stuff happened with this annoying contractor that I have in Philly. You know, Larry always says, you know, invest in, you know, there are two places to invest, Philly and everywhere else.
Yeah. And he chooses everywhere else.
And he chooses everywhere else. Yeah. And I know when I first met him, I was thinking, well, that's more for me in Philly, right? Because I have a couple properties in Philly. And I'm not in any rush to get out of Philly. But, you know, it makes me start to wonder when I deal with these moronic contractors who have their heads way up their hiney.
It's not only Philly. This is everywhere right now because everybody are so fed up with work.
My thing is that if I say I'm going to do something, I do it.
Me too.
But this moron that I'm dealing with right now said yesterday, I'm going to do that. I'll be there tomorrow. I'll put it in. And then he calls me up. So here are context. I have a I have a condo in Philly. It's in a gated community. It's a really nice condo. I have somebody literally coming from California to move into my place. Okay. I gave him the keys last week. I went there a day early to make sure everything was okay. And I noticed that it was really warm in there. I turned on the AC. Nothing seemed to happen. So this past week, I had people go out there to see what was going on so I can get it fixed because they are moving in, I believe, on Wednesday. And again, they are coming from California. I think they're coming out from LA.
That's an aggravation.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, so I get people out there. I have the key lock out there. And I have this one guy who I've used him for the last 2 years, maybe even longer, at my property. It's got to be longer because I've had these longer. Yeah, because I've at least two years I've been using the same heater guy for this property and a different property in Philly. And so he replaced the water heater. So the water heater had to be replaced. But since I'm on the top unit of a condo unit, there's a specialty valve that's like a shutoff valve. So there's water going to the unit, but there's no hot water going to the unit. So this valve that's called like a Wags valve or some kind of, I don't know, whatever valve. And it's a shutoff valve so that there's no, it doesn't.
You just showed me the picture.
I just showed you.
It's actually shutting the feed into the water heater. So the water heater can get filled, and of course, when the water heater can get filled, it's also not going to be emptied. You can't use it. That's the whole point of a water heater. You need to have water coming in order to water coming out.
Right. So there's cold water in the unit, but there's no hot water in the unit.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's this valve. There's something inside of it that dissolves if water goes through it, and that's the trigger that makes whatever stop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a safety valve so that the water doesn't go all over the floor and then ruin the unit underneath, right? That's the whole point of it. So there's no hot water in the unit now. So I had to order this part. I should stop saying so much. I didn't realize I was doing it. I ordered this part, and the guy who replaced the water heater told me he would install it today. He knows it's an emergency situation. He knows I need to get this done. He promised me he would come and do it today. I order the part. I overnight it. Cost me an extra $50. This part cost $125, and I spent an extra $50 to get it overnighted so he can install it today. So he texts me about 1 o'clock, 1:15, and says, "Hey, the part came in." I'm like, "Great. So you're on your way over to install it?" He's like, "No, I'm in Maryland doing this and that." I'm like, "Oh, are you going to install it later?" He's like, "No, maybe tomorrow or Monday." I'm like, "But I thought you were installing it today. That was the whole point of me overnighting it to you." He's like, "Well, I have this project and then I have that going on." I said, "All right, that's fine. Then take $50 off your bill because the whole point of doing it was...
Yeah, I just overnighted it.
Yeah, I just overnighted it. So, and I overnighted it to his house because I don't live in Philly. The place is an hour away from me. And he lives in Philly and he's probably 20 minutes tops from this location, right?
Yeah.
So it made more sense to have this piece delivered to him and not to me. And plus, I wouldn't know how to install it anyway. That's the whole point of hiring somebody to do this for you, right? Isn't that, you know, you hire a professional? Anyway, whatever, I digress. So I had this part delivered to him, and he is not installing it. And I told him to take $50 off. And then he says to me, "I should read you this text."
Show me the attitude.
I was so angry. All right, so here's what. Hold on, the last text was, hold on, let me find it. "I will be there when I'm done here. I am not your employee. I have other jobs and customers. Crap happens, and I needed to be here." And I'm like, you know, and then I said, so he's also supposed to be installing the new heater and AC unit on Tuesday, Wednesday, which we're having shipped in from Illinois because this one apparently is hard to get because it's a condo unit and it goes in the wall and blah, 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 blah. So now he doesn't want to do that job, which is fine because I don't know if I really want him to do that job anyway. But I still need this part put in because as of right now, there's no hot water heater in the unit. I mean, if it's warm there, you know, we can open a window or I can get something in there. But at least this way, they have hot water. But
how many years you work with the guy?
About 2.5 years, maybe 3 years.
I'm working with the same HVAC guy for the last 4 years. 4 years. I just finished a big renovation in my last purchase in Norristown. He got a deposit from me.
Oh, so I didn't give this guy a deposit because I'm starting to learn my lessons about deposits.
I understand. Yeah. The guy got a deposit from me. I believed he's not going to screw me up, and he didn't at the end. But he got a deposit from me in January. He finished the installation of the heater in June.
Say that again. What?
He got a deposit in January. He finished the installation of the heater in June. So there was a family emergency. He had to fly to Panama. He liked spending time in Panama. His family is from there. While he was there, apparently there was a family catastrophe. People died. I couldn't keep up, honestly. Great guy. I worked with him for years. But the fact of the matter is, it took him 5 months to complete his job. Now, he didn't do the job for 5 months. He only started the job, I think, in May. So you think about that and you say, you work with me for 4 years, and that's how, that's the attitude I'm getting from you right now. So I think that's the essence. It's the same line that you are here presenting. Everybody has so much work, so they don't care anymore. And they are even willing to let go their valuable customer that worked with them for years, because they know that you will hang up, you will tell him, I don't want to work with you anymore, and he will get another call, say, please work with me.
And I am happy to go on Google reviews and smash this guy, because believe me, I will be happy to do it, and I will as soon as he installs that part for me, because I will not do it beforehand. So, hi, Dr. Deb and Army. Love the show. Who's that? Kimmy. We don't know who Kimmy.
What? No.
I'm not sure who Kimmy is.
I don't know.
But
she
thank you
to
for
call.
Reaching out. Yeah, you need to call us, and I don't know what the
Kimmy,
number is.
Kimmy, please call us at 855-939-1137.
Yeah,
855-939-1137. Deb almost gave her personal phone number, so you can.
No,
call
I didn't.
That.
I was gonna say I was just looking to see what that, because I never know what the number is here.
So
I don't know what my number is here either.
I think it's crazy. I really, really think it's crazy.
I get so frustrated, but so I had. It's interesting, and you have to stop me when I'm saying so I don't keep doing that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I had a property, the other property that he worked on. I looked on Google reviews and I was looking for a cleaner. Remember I was telling you this was
because
your wife did the other one.
Yeah, and I recommended to you, cleaner for cleaning or for clean out?
Cleaning.
Cleaning, okay.
Yeah, so what happened was I looked on Google reviews for somebody local who had a lot of good reviews, and I used this guy who had a lot of good reviews. And they came out to the house. I left the key because, I'm an hour away from this place. I left the keys. I gave him a deposit because I needed, a deposit to go out. And I'm like, it's fine. And then I'm waiting, to hear whether he went. And then I finally went out. And when I went out to check the place, there's dirt all over the walls. The fridge wasn't cleaned out. The drawers weren't cleaned out. It was just, disgusting and dirty. And I called him back up. I'm like, I thought you cleaned this place. He's like, what do you mean? I did. I'm like, no, you didn't. And I showed him all these pictures. He's like, well, it took you, 10 days to get back to me. I'm like, what are you talking about? You were supposed to let me know that to get the other payment. And come to find out, he just charged my card and I didn't know it. So then I had to go and fight the credit card company.
What did you just said? He charged the card even though he didn't complete the job?
Well, according to him, he completed the job, but he didn't. I mean, the place was, I had pictures of how dirty it was. It was crazy. So then I went to the credit card company and I disputed the charge. Now, bear in mind that this is a property that's in my IRA. So everything is very specific out of that, right?
Of course.
So I had to go to the bank and they were like, well, you need to work with this guy. I said, so I called him up and I said, there's a problem here. You need to either come back out. Well, we did this and we did that and we did that. And I'm showing, and I send him pictures. I'm like, you didn't clean this place up. So I disputed the charge, and then the bank called me up, and they said, why are you disputing it? I said, according to him, I'm racist. Because, and that's when I found out he was black. I'm like,
You didn't know?
No, because I got him on Google reviews. He had like 5 stars. So clearly, the guy had good reviews. I'm
there
like,
is a law.
I
have to understand.
Well, let me
something.
Finish this. So I was going after him because he had great reviews on his cleaning. I don't care what color he is. I just wanted somebody to clean my place and do a good job at it. But now, all of a sudden, I'm a racist because he didn't do a good job. I have pictures to prove it, and I want my money back. So I ended up winning that argument, and I blasted this guy on
Google Review.
On Google Review.
Yeah.
And of course, he, you've been difficult to work with since day one. And I said, hey, check a look at the shoddy cleaning. You really want to use this guy? And I put all kinds of pictures. So no matter what he writes there, I have pictures to show what a crappy job he did. So good luck. Kudos to me, because let me tell you, I felt really good writing that Google review. And just so you guys know, I write for a living, so I actually write pretty well on this kind of stuff. And I will blast this HVAC guy. I will blast him. And so that hopefully he, I just can't wait to blast him, because he doesn't keep his word and he's, a crappy person.
That's
he's
why
a crappy,
I
crappy
will
person.
Never put myself on Google. Just so scared of you.
You're scared of me?
Never. I will never put
If you look at my Google reviews, I have a lot of good reviews on there, too. Yeah. You know, I went to this little place. It was a little hole in the wall, but the people were so nice. The food was really good. It was very reasonable. And I wrote them, cute little place, you know, service is great. You know, like whenever, you know, if I go somewhere and it impresses me in some way, I will write a review. Or, you know, I don't go every time I go somewhere, I write a review. I don't. But something has to impress me about the place for me to say, all right, I'm going to take the time to write a Google review.
Yeah.
And I remember going to this one little place that we went to. We were driving somewhere. We were in the middle of nowhere. We were just hung. You know how when you're just, you know, you're driving in the car for a couple hours, you just want to stop, grab something to eat, just refuel and kind of get back into your head and go. And it was a little tiny place. And it was so cute. And it was had a nice little decor. And the lady was really nice. The food was really good. I'm like, you know, I'll give them a nice review because she was just so nice, you know. And there was other places that I've gone to that were just really cute and really nice. Or one other place that I went to that I asked for some, I don't know, I think it was some like Cajun chicken or some kind of, I don't know, whatever. And I got like breaded chicken. I'm like, what the heck is this? You know, or it was a country chicken steak or something. I don't know, whatever. But it was some, so, I mean, I will write good reviews. I write more good reviews than bad reviews. But I mean, you know, you really have to make me this angry.
Yeah.
And Amr, you've known me for how many years now?
Three.
Have you ever seen me this angry? Not, I don't get this angry very often.
Yeah, but I'm not a Novik, so it's a whole different, it's a private joke, yeah.
Yeah, you're not a novice, yeah,
so,
okay.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Some say it with a K, some say it with a C. You know the right word. Yeah. You know
novice,
the right expression.
Well, he said novice. The guy was a schmuck. But I mean, you know, it was just interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. But
it is allowed, yeah. And also, you know, I'm very happy that you expressed yourself. We got a complaint from Glenn last week, if you remember that.
No.
That he said in the messenger, he said, more Deb and less
Omri.
Right.
Yes, yeah. More Deb and less
Omri. So I guess I talk too much in the radio.
Well, you do tend to monopolize the conversation. You do tend to do that. So.
Yeah, I do.
Whatever.
So
okay.
I do have a question for you.
Okay.
Because I was in this, you know, I'm new to this nation and many things are a mystery to me.
Okay.
The thing with pulling the racist card all the time.
Oh, that makes me so angry.
Okay. Is it legal? So
in the environment that we are today?
Yes. Is it legal to come in a very factual argument and say that put all those facts aside and we are only talking about right now that this person is filed a landlord-tenant complaint against
it's
me. We go back to real estate because I'm black and he's white.
So I'm not, I don't want to get into politics because this will
no,
turn
no,
bad.
No, no, we're not
really
going
quick.
To politics.
But I mean, I think a lot of it is double standards right now. And the Republicans who listen to us know exactly what I'm talking about. There's a lot of double standards right now. But I don't want to go that route because I just don't want to go that route.
I was in this position.
Okay.
And it was actually with a tenant that I chose and I put. It's not a house that I bought with a tenant inside. This was a house that I brought the tenant inside. And this was Delaware County. We were in front of the judge and she pulled the racist card. She said that I'm here in front of her and I want her out because she's black. And I was amazed. I was staring at her. I was staring at the judge. I didn't know what to say.
Right, right.
It was absurd to me.
I don't really care what color you are, but if you're going to be nasty to me, I'm going to be nasty back.
Yeah.
And I say that to all my tenants. Like some of my tenants are black and some of them are white and some of them are Hispanic. And I really don't care. I mean, when they're looking through everything, it's more like, can you make the payments? What's your credit score look like? You know, what kind of history? You know, like I have one of my tenants is black and she's been at the place for 2 years. She's the sweetest lady. She's one of the sweetest women I've known. She just had a baby. She's got three other kids and now she's got four. She's been there with her boyfriend, husband, whatever. And she always says to me, I love my landlord. You know what I mean? And she always says to me, queen. Like, I hate, you know, she always calls me Queen Debbie. I hate that. But, and she's like, honey, we're all queens. And I'm like, okay. But it's weird. But, and that must be this thing. But, I mean, she's very nice. That's what I mean. Like, I don't care what color you are. Like, but don't be nasty to me and expect me to be not nasty back when you give me this attitude and you tell me you're going to do something and you decide not to do it because, oh, well, I got a bigger job over there and I'm going to make more money. And I don't want your little 10 grand. I would rather have 60 grand here or 80 grand that I'm going to make here. It's just like, that's fine, but don't say that you're going to do something and then go back on your word and get pissed at me because you're the one who can't keep your word and are now a piece of garbage. And then, like I said, I will blast you. And so look for my Google review because I will be happy to share who that is once everything is completed because I'm not doing it before that because I need that part installed first.
So I'll tell you a story. This week, Tuesday morning, I had a roofing inspection. I call this inspection because we kept having leaks in very specific places.
Okay.
In actually two of my houses. It's a row house and I own the two ends. So I scheduled the inspection with another roofer because my roofer was there like three times and I said, you know what, maybe we'll give somebody else a shot to figure out what's going on there. I'm not willing to put any more money unless somebody is committing that those leaks will stop. So I called the tenants. I informed both of them that there's going to be an inspection. And in the morning, in the morning, the guy called me, said he's outside, he's looking around, he's going over on the roofs. He knocks on both tenants' doors, and there was no answer. So I contact again both tenants, like, you told me you will be there. You confirmed that you will be there for the maintenance inspection. And both tenants, so one tenant texted me back and apologized that she's not there, she had to be with the kids and all that. The second tenant started to argue. We talked about attitude, about why the roofer needs to be inside. Stupid me, I started to explain. He wants to see where the leaks are. He wants to see where the water stains are, to understand exactly where the water are coming from on the outside. So he wants to see what's going on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
And he started saying, no, he don't need that. Now, to me, when a professional come to me and said, listen, I want to see the inside, I want to see the outside, I don't care. Do whatever you do. So at the end of the job, I would know that you did your best and it's done and it's finished. So the guy didn't like that. And he said, no, nobody needs to go into my property. And if somebody will go into my property, I will shoot him. Exactly. I was.
When's his lease up?
No. I was with my two kids in the car with me to Kim. And I said to him, I almost said the name. I said to him, listen, when a guy come to me, when a pro come to me and he said, that's what we need to do. So that's what we need to do. I don't argue about all that. I was with my two kids, was dropping them to camp. The guy started to curse and yell and shout. So immediately I hang up the phone. And I was ready, very, very ready to do exactly what you said. I prepared a lease. I prepared the letter to a breach of the lease and all that. And I waited another day, honestly, because mainly it affected me. It mainly affected me that somebody show this kind of disrespect to me. And that caused me such aggravation for maybe three days. The guy just believed that, I guess that's the attitude. Yesterday he called. Of course, I didn't answer. And then he sent an apology text and asked that I will call him back. I texted him back. I said, listen, following what happened while you decided to behave like that, while I was with my two kids in the car, I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. I said, I would rather that right now everything, every communication between us would be in writing. That's, I think, the essence. I'm telling this story to explain exactly what you're dealing with a contractor, which I think is the same thing I dealt with a tenant this week. People believe that it's so easy. People live there in your houses, you collect the money and all that. It's a headache, it's aggravating many, many, many times. It's worse than having an 8-to-5 job.
It's not 9-to-5.
Yeah. 9-to-5?
It's 9-to-5.
Okay.
It's an American thing.
It's 9-to-5.
Yeah, it's always been 9-to-5.
People don't like to work, you see.
I'm just saying, that's a whole, there's a whole
and
song on it.
A 9-to-5 job.
It's just. Work at 9-to-5. I don't know. I guess I need to lighten it up. And you should.
It's just insane sometimes.
It's frustrating.
Yeah, exactly. And I blame COVID. I blame COVID. I think something happened social between us people that...
You know what I don't understand? You know, when 9/11...
We don't see each other the same way we used to see. We were locked in our houses for a year, okay? And now it's like we don't need this social intimacy. Can I use the word intimacy here?
Yeah.
We don't need this social intimacy anymore. And it's like we all tools. And I hate that.
I guess what...
I hate that.
What I don't understand... What I really don't understand is when 9/11 happened.
Yeah.
This whole country came together as one. It really came together. You saw people with flags. You saw people helping each other. You saw people being together as one. And just really the camaraderie was just incredible. Like we are one nation under God. We are all Americans, no matter where we're coming from. And we are together to help each other. And 20 years later, there is such an incredible divide in this country. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, here we're talking about terrible tenants. We're talking about race. We're talking about, you know, Republican. I mean, it's like everybody's trying to figure out a way to carve out why they're different. And it's such, and the double standards with all this lives matter, you know, whatever. I mean, there's such an incredible divide in this country. I don't want to get into politics, and that's exactly what we're doing. But I'm just telling you, all it's doing is we're going into like a really terrible place, and we're heading into
What's going on in my region country right now.
Yeah, but it's your region of the country. They have been fighting for 1,000 years.
Okay.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'm just saying.
I'm just answering. They have been fighting for it. So my kid has...
We said let's put politics aside. And
I know.
We keep breaking.
I know. It's terrible.
But you know that right now in my original country, which is Israel, if people don't recognize the weird accent by now. Yeah, exactly. There is right now a very big, you can say riot.
Okay.
Some people say... you can call it whatever you want. There is a big reform against that the government is issuing against the justical system.
The justice system.
Okay. So many people believe in it. Many people don't believe in it. But the fact of the matter is what the government is trying to do, they're trying to limit the control or the, you can call it the... The bureaucracy that the justice system will show on the government. Nobody can question, that's what they're trying to do. Nobody will question laws that maybe are against the constitution, which is something that we still don't have in Israel, by the way. There is still no constitution in Israel.
All right, so let me pause for a minute and just say, if you guys have any questions or something, or you want to talk about something financial, that which is what we're supposed to be doing, or real estate, you know, so we can get back on track. And I'm sorry, I was just frustrated
with my
contractor because he's a schmuck. You can give me a call. Give us a call at 855-939-1137. That's 855-939-1137. Again, that's 855-939-1137. We'll do one more for good measure. 855-939-1137. So just give us a call. We're happy to take any calls. And we'll get off this politic thing because I apologize because we're just frustrated. But Omri started it because he asked the question. Or maybe I started it because I did that cleaning thing, but whatever.
We'll give you another opportunity to relax. So
yeah.
Glenn will take us to a commercial break.
Okay, Glenn will take us to a commercial break.
This is Larry Steinitz with Investor Schooling. Are you afraid of the Great Reset? Well, the Great Reset won't apply to those who own real assets. At Investor Schooling, we teach you how to own real assets like real estate, gold, silver, and other investments, including stocks, stock options, and even the basics of cryptocurrency. We even teach you how to pay thousands less in taxes legally. So go to investorschooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. Investorschooling.com. This is Larry Steinitz, and you have probably heard my radio shows and listened to my great advice on how you can make more money and pay less taxes. Well, I just finished writing a book on all things I teach at Investor Schooling and on my radio shows. This book is called Money Hacks, and you want a copy of this book, and you can pre-order this book wherever books are sold. Look for Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus. Hey, it might even be a tax deduction. Order Money Hacks by Larry Steinhaus wherever books are sold, and come see me at Investor Schooling. This is Larry Steinhaus with Investor Schooling. The opportunity to retire with a great big real estate portfolio is coming quickly, and you want to learn how to do it. We all know the downturn is around the corner. What does that mean to you? You need to learn how to take advantage of this opportunity, like how to buy discounted properties with absolutely no money out of your pocket. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Can you learn how to do it? Yes, you can. Go to investorschooling.com and find out how you can attend a complimentary class this Thursday. Investorschooling.com.
All right, so good afternoon and welcome to Investor Schooling Live. Investor Schooling Live is transmitting from the Investor Schooling Studios here in the Investor Schooling headquarters. I think, do we say Investor Schooling enough? I think that's kind of funny. I am Dr. Deb, and I am here with Omri, our favorite guy. I am not the CEO of Investor Schooling, but I might as well be because I do everything for Larry. thanks for listening in, and get ready to learn real estate investing, stock options trading, and so many more things about money that I bet you didn't know. You can call us anytime during the show with your questions at 855-939-1137.
What's the number?
855-939-1137. And one more for good measure.
855-939-1137.
There we go. That's right. We are a live program, so you can call anytime during the show, and we will take your calls. Do not worry about the topic. We will take your calls about anything that has to do with money, finances, and we're trying to get away from politics, so I'll keep working on that. We are also live on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, and you can leave comments there. If you are watching online, please say hi. The only way we know you are watching is when you make a comment. At Investor Schooling, we teach real estate investing, stock options trading, how to save money on taxes, how to be financially free, and we even give you the motivation to make money work for you instead of you working for money. Investor Schooling is located in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, right off the Newtown Bypass, serving the New Jersey and Greater Philadelphia areas in a real brick-and-mortar building. Our students are also located in several states with our exclusive web access to our classes and seminars. Get ready to learn something new. Get ready to learn the business of entrepreneurship, real estate investing, and stock options trading from your friendly neighborhood financial expert. And we're going to go with Dr. Deb on that one today. And I think that's it.
Okay.
So if anybody wants to give us a call, give us a shout. Kimmy says she hears us fine, but you can always give us a call, Kimmy. We're happy to have you. And then Ken is like, keep up the good work, Debbie Anderson and Omri Murad. So Ken forgot to put Dr. Deb, you know, so we'll have to school him on that.
Okay.
So I say that as a joke because...
Even for the good people, the close people to you, you still want the doctor.
No, I joke around. Okay. Ken, I love you. I joke around because I was out a couple weeks ago. I was out in California and I went to a couple events, actually. I went to a Women's Secret Knock, and then I went to this other training program, and then I hung out with a couple of friends of mine in LA for a little while, and I had such a great time. And you guys know, Larry's one of my mentors, but I also have another mentor, and she's actually out in California, and she's my mentor for note investing. So whenever, that's who I'm learning all the note investing from. Anyway, so we all get together and we're at my friend's house, and they brought in dinner, cause my mentor, her mother is really sick and she doesn't want to go out. So she wants to limit her access to a lot of people so she doesn't bring anything home to her mom, right? Because she has an elderly mom. Anyway, so we get this like really great barbecue dinner, completely not kosher, Omri, just in case you were wondering. And we're all talking, and my one friend, her husband goes away because it was really just the three of us, and we're all women goofing off, chit-chatting about stuff and joking around. But one of the things they say to me was that, so one of my friends, she didn't know that I had a doctorate. And she looks at me, she's like, what do you mean? What do you mean you have a doctorate? I'm like, yeah, whatever. I just kind of blow it off a lot of times because I did it at the school all the time. Also, I don't make such a big fuss about it. And then my mentor says to me, no, I don't.
No, but, actually, Larry doing most of the fuss about you.
Yeah, he does it. Like, I always blow it off, but he always kind of makes it a big... He's the one who started the whole Dr. Deb thing. That was really him. I didn't do any of that. Anyway, my mentor says to me, and she looks over at me and she says... Deb. And I'm like, what? And she says, you know, there's very few people you get instant credibility when you say things. And doctor is one of them. She goes, why would you not want to say that? And I guess I never thought about it that way, the way she said it. Because when somebody says, hey, I'm Dr. So-and-so, they get that instant credibility, right? And then what's another one she said? Doctor was one. Minister or, rabbi would be one. You know, you get like this instant credibility. I mean, I don't know if I'd say lawyer is one because nobody really seems to.
I know. The first time somebody told me that you are a doctor, I immediately came to you about the fungus on my back. Then everything became awkward. So we actually have people online that want to talk to us. We have Lucille in Hamilton Square. Hi, Lucille.
Hi, Eric. How are you doing?
I am good. How are you?
Very good. Well, you know what? I know that we're starting to go a little negative, so I thought I would put a very positive spin on this. And I actually told Glenn I called to compliment you, Omri, because I am so impressed with your English and your idioms. And I want to know how you learned English so well, where you have all our little extras that we put in our language. I'm amazed. Every week I listen to you, I go, oh my goodness, his English. I was a flight attendant for many years, so I've dealt with people with broken English and people struggling with English and different versions of English, but you are amazing. How did you learn our language? I'm impressed.
So
how about that?
I just want to make sure. Glenn didn't pay you anything, right?
No. I just listen to the show, so I know the cast of characters.
So thank you, Lucille. Thank you, Lucille, for calling in and making sure we're absolutely
I'm red.
You're not red. Do you want to be red?
I am very red.
No, your nose is a little bit red. now you're starting to turn a little bit red.
I know. The compliment. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. But thank you, Lucille,
really
for calling in and making sure that we're
You won't believe the answer. Actually, the answer is that since I was, I think, 14, maybe 15. There was all the, maybe even later, there was all the Friends, the
Somebody
show.
Somebody else said that to
the
me.
The Friends Consensus, yeah. And back then, there were no subtitles.
Okay.
We downloaded them online. And that's, oh my God, I just confessed a crime. But we downloaded the episodes online and we kept watching them. I kept watching them. I couldn't fall asleep without hearing one or two jokes from Chandler. And most of my, let's say the beginning of my English, before I went into computers and I started to learn the technical English and all that, the beginning for me was first school, high school, and before, of course, but mainly in high school and also Friends, believe it or not, Friends with no subtitles.
So I've watched, you know, there's a show, what was that name of that show we were talking about? It's an Israeli show.
Which one? Fauda?
It wasn't Fauda. I love Fauda, but it's not Fauda. What's the other one where the guy is the head of a school and he has like the four kids and the youngest son, his wife, he had to get married and then he kept, you know, I can't.
Was the Orthodox?
Yeah, the Orthodox one. You know which one I'm talking about?
I'm almost sure. I'm not. I don't know the name. I don't remember the name.
I don't remember the name of it either. But I've watched that a couple times and I always watch it with the subtitles because I don't necessarily. But how does that transfer happen? Like, at what point do you start watching it and you just learn the language?
It's exactly that. Because you understand the contents in a way very soon. You know the words. You know the words. But she just said about, for example, the terms and how you do the connection sometimes and all that. That come, I think, from those things.
Well, you watch it, like, because you get the gist of what's going on just by. By listening to it, you can kind of see what's going on, but you don't know exactly what they're saying. So you just watch it enough. But I remember I was traveling somewhere else and I was talking to the guy and I asked him how he learned his English. I asked the same question Lucille did. And he said the same thing by watching Friends episodes. So isn't that
so
crazy?
Lucille, thank you so much for calling us
absolutely.
Today.
Oh, absolutely. I'm just it really was a sincere compliment to you, I'm right. But I enjoyed the
thank
show.
You.
And thank you, Dr. Depp, for putting me on. Bye-bye.
Of course.
Have a great
thank
day.
You
Thanks
so for
much.
Calling in.
Okay, and we have Frank in Plymouth Meeting who has an IRA question.
Oh.
Hello?
Hey, Frank, what's up?
Hi, how you doing? I got a question about an IRA. My father left me an IRA. He passed away. And it was myself. My two brothers are on beneficiaries.
Okay.
Well, both my brothers have passed away.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
And the place that... thank you. But the place that runs the IRA gave me my portion of the IRA in a separate account. And then I wanted to know what was going on with the other portion of the IRA. And they said I would have to talk to a financial advisor. Does that sound right?
I don't know about a financial advisor. So here's what I would say. I would say make
it still open?
Well, he would probably.
It's still open.
I would think he would need to get proof of like the death certificates to show that they.
I sent all that stuff in. I sent the short forms in, the death certificates, everything, EIN numbers, everything.
And they didn't accept that?
No, they said I'd have to talk to a financial advisor for that other portion.
So here's what I would do. I would actually call us back offline. And I could set you up with a quick appointment with Larry when he's back, because he can answer that. I mean, I can answer a lot of IRA questions, but I can't answer that one. So this way he can help you navigate that, because we actually had a student who had a similar situation. And I know he was working with her to get all that stuff, because her husband passed and the IRA was in his name. And then there was a loan taken out against it. And then she had to get it turned into her name because, you know, it was a similar. But I'm not exactly sure of the details of all that. But why don't you, if you can give us a call offline, or do you have his number there?
We can get his number, yeah.
Yeah, Glenn, if you could take his number or his email, that would be great. And then I could set you up with an appointment with Larry when he gets back. So he'll be back, not this coming week, but the week after. This way we can help you get squared away with that. Will that work for you?
Okay, because I'm in no hurry. I wanted to transfer it into my, leave it in the IRA and transfer it to my grandkids when it was all, you know. I want it all in one group. I don't want to have it in two separate accounts.
Okay.
Okay.
Do you work with an agent? Do you work with an agent, or you work directly with the company?
Directly with the company.
Okay. So just stay online. Don't hang up. And Glenn will take your details, and we'll be in touch with you.
Yeah, we'll be in touch, and we'll make sure we set you up with Larry so he can help you. Because that, when it comes to that, that's definitely a Larry question. But he'll know how to navigate that for you and get that over to you. Okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you for calling. So that's amazing to me.
What's that?
Every time we end up in this situation, that the companies or the banks don't know what to do with our request. I'm still trying, believe it or not, to convince Bank of America to open a trust account for me.
Oh, go to WSFS.
To Wells Fargo.
Wells Fargo, WSFS.
Yeah, all of them, I know. But I love Bank of America. I work with them for years. I don't know. Maybe
you just need to teach them how to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I told him, listen, I don't care. Bring me the trust documents that you want. I will sign in front of you.
Yeah.
And let's open the trust account.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't work that way. You need to bring the trust documents, and we will need to approve it.
Well, technically, you don't need the trust documents to open. But WSFS will, they request them. And you know what? For me to bring them in, and just this way they open it,
exactly.
It's not that big of a deal. But technically, they don't need the trust
documents.
Wells
Fargo the same. They want to see the first page.
Yeah.
And that's it. And but they do it.
But then you just open it up, and I always hide the beneficiary because it's nobody's business who the beneficiary is. But I've done that. I've opened up a couple of trust documents there, and I haven't had. And then I actually have I belong to a credit union, and I wanted to open up one there, and they're like, "Well, we need to see the trust." I'm like, "Technically, you don't." He's like, "Yeah, I know, but we want to keep a copy of it." I'm like, "Well, keeping a copy of it is not. That's not going to happen." But I think a lot of it is just educating them, because this is so out of the norm, because we teach so many different strategies for saving money and building wealth that it's out of the norm. So people are always like, well, it's too good to be true. It's like, well, if that's what you think, sure. And I always think it's funny when people are like, oh, it's good for you. It must be nice when this happens. It's just like, well, you could do it too if you want. But if you're going to get so tied up in...
I blame YouTube.
You blame YouTube?
I blame YouTube. You know all those commercials on YouTube that you see a guy standing in front of a green screen tell us that he will teach us how to be rich for free? It's every time it's something else. Was
you know what I've been seeing a lot lately, actually, on YouTube? I'm trying really hard to not watch as much. Like, I'm really trying. It doesn't necessarily work, but I'm trying real hard to pay attention to the amount of time I'm on my phone. But the two things I keep seeing a lot lately is credit card debt consolidation And the other one I see is I have all these products that I sell on Amazon and I don't do anything and I'm
yeah,
waiting for them.
I know.
I've been seeing those a lot. And
opening
I'm like,
an Amazon store. Yeah. So I'm like, those things too.
Yeah. So I don't know. But that's what I've been seeing more and more of lately. I'm telling you, the last 5 days I've gone on, because I always am you know what I like to look at? I like to look at like all the little food recipes because, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, because I really don't like to cook, but I can cook, but I don't like to. And then, you know, so then I must have like 50 little recipes saved because they're like 30-second clips. And I'm like, oh, that looks good. Maybe I'll try it one day. Oh, that looks good. Maybe I'll try it. And then I have a couple that I actually brought into the school, like the, you know, that I'll gluten-free stuff for them. But they are always like kind of mixed in the middle of there, that debt consolidation. If you have $25,000 or more in credit card debt, and then I look at them and I'm like, yeah, but this is going to lower your credit score. And then it's going to put you on some kind of list. And I'm thinking, I don't know if this is the best way. And then the other one, like I said, oh, I have an Amazon store and I sell these products and these are the top products and I get X amount of money. So I looked into it a little bit, but then they wanted so much personal information. I'm like, yeah, this is a scam. But I'm curious. I mean, I have to admit I'm curious, but the whole thing is, you know, I don't know.
We actually just ran the credit score presentation. Larry just ran the credit score presentation this Thursday.
How to apply it for a business credit.
Every time we do this presentation, it's just the most amazing thing to understand how, I won't say easy, but how understandable it is.
Yeah.
Of how the credit score is being built.
And it's all in too. It's all in the Money Hacks book. So I think he actually has three chapters specific to that, which I think is great because I didn't know that much. I knew about credit scores, but I didn't know anywhere near until I got here to the school. But he has The Truth About Credit Scores, Rebuilding Your Credit Using Credit Cards. So he has a couple chapters specific to that in the book. So in case anybody doesn't have the book yet, it's Money Hacks, Because Everything You Think You Know About Money Is Wrong, Larry Steinhaus. I'll put it up on the camera if anybody looks at it. Money Hacks, Because Everything You Think You Know About Money Is Wrong by Larry Steinhaus. So we definitely recommend it. There's a lot of really good things in there. And you can gives you a really good sense of some of the things that we teach here at the school. But yeah, this Thursday, he talked about credit scores and how they work and how they get calculated. But the purpose was to provide a foundation so that you can get business credit. So the whole concept was, how do you get business credit? So now you have this LLC, what do you have to do to be able to get credit cards in your business name?
Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting because he talks about the Duns and Bradstreet number and he talks about a couple other things.
So Kimi is asking us, what do we think about the commercial real estate market?
Commercial real estate?
Yeah. So I'm not dealing a lot with commercial real estate.
I don't either, actually.
I had some deals in the past, but I don't like commercial. It's not that I don't like. I don't have enough experience, let's say, with commercial real estate. I know Larry did. But for Larry, most of the real estate investing are very long lasting investments.
Commercial or regular?
Commercial.
Okay.
I think a very long lasting investment. Larry liked to tell the story about that he should think the investor schooling building, because that's what like pushed him to start the school.
Yeah.
And that's part of it. On the same thing about the warehouse that he bought in Marsville to store his cars.
Yeah.
So I think it's great. We need to understand that if you go in commercial real estate, you do it for what? For passive income? You need to look very closely at the numbers, because sometimes commercial real estate, I think the numbers are not as good as we can find in residential real estate.
I know that it's a little bit harder to find comps on real estate. It's, you know how,
I know, yeah.
It's, you know, if you're looking at this house and it's in this neighborhood, you can comp it pretty easily. But when it comes to commercial real estate, it's a little bit harder to comp. Because we had a student who was looking at, I don't know, I think it was like a 5,000 square foot building that had a big parking lot. And he was, you know, asking for comps on it. And I'm like, you know what? And I said, I can comp regular real estate, but when it comes to commercial, it's a little bit harder for me. So I sent him to Larry, and Larry's like, it's kind of hard to comp because commercial real estate is just harder to comp. So it's harder to get. And the thing with commercial real estate, I am not a commercial real estate guru at all. And I know very little about it. And I don't want to say that I know a lot about it. I don't. But the thing that I think about is, you know, location, 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 just for regular real estate, right? You want to make sure that you're in a really good spot and that you're going to have a lot of traffic to whatever area, whatever it is that you have. And you want to make sure that you're going to have a business that brings people in. right? Because you're banking your commercial real estate, you're banking on other people to visit that location for you to be able to get paid. Whereas if you're in a house, somebody's just living there and they're always going to live there, right? Because people prefer to live in a house as opposed to out on the street.
So it depends. If it's a business and it's not a store,
right?
I
just
don't
business.
Care. Yeah, exactly.
I mean, but so think
people
about
people come, people work there, they go home every day.
Yeah, but
or
if
it's a warehouse and people store there, I don't know, they're building materials.
Yeah,
it's another option. So
yeah, but you're still having somebody, you know, rental storage space is totally different than, you know, I mean, yes, it's commercial, but I think that's a little bit different. I mean, that's a little bit more secure as opposed to having a restaurant, because, you know, if your restaurant fails, then what do you do? Or if you have a store that doesn't do as well. So you know how there's that store that's right near the mall? And it's right near
Oxford Valley?
Yeah, near Oxford Valley Mall. And it's been empty. They used to, every now and then they try, it's right near
where the burger shop was. Red Robin? In front of Red Robin?
Not in front of Red Robin, actually closer to the mall. I think it's on Woodhaven Road, off of Woodhaven Road.
Okay.
And it's been empty for the last couple of years. And every time they try to put a store in there, it just doesn't do well because the location is just, it's hard to get into that location.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes they put a Halloween store in there because that's the only thing that's been able to stay, you know, because it's seasonal, because people will go to that location for a seasonal. But every time I've ever seen a store in there, it never does well because it's just a really bad location to get into. But maybe they're not putting the right type of store in there either. I don't know.
So I think the bottom line answer here to Kimi is that it's all the matter of numbers. If the number works,
yeah,
it's like any other real estate deal.
Yeah.
The only thing we need to remember that sometimes in certain locations, when we talk about commercial, it's harder to find the right tenant or a tenant in general.
I don't know if it's harder to find a tenant. Do you think it's harder to find a tenant?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. What's your experience right now with residential? When you put a house right now for rent,
it's taking a little bit longer. It's taking a little bit longer.
Commercial?
Find. No. I don't have commercial. I have all residential.
What do you think take longer right now? Residential?
No, I guess. I mean, I'm saying that residential has taken a little bit longer to put in there.
No. I think the opposite. Okay. I think commercial will take you longer right now.
No, I think commercial will take you longer, but I'm just saying that, you know, when I had a couple properties open.
Recently.
I
agree.
Yeah, recently. I'm saying, like, you know, a year or two ago, I didn't have any problems at all. And now this time around, it's taken me a little bit longer to get people in
there. But we need to remember, what we experienced in the market, let's say a year ago, it's not normal.
Yeah.
The fact that you put a house on the market and the next day you had like 5 applications.
Yeah.
Okay, some of people that haven't came to see the house yet, that was because the market was distressed with not enough vacancies. So some people sold their houses and figure out that now they have nothing to buy because everything went up, not only their houses.
Yeah.
And some people decided to stay in their houses because they understand that the market is in a position that they have no place to go.
Yeah.
And we didn't have enough vacancies. And many people paid the price for that.
You don't mean vacancies. I think you mean there wasn't a lot of
opportunity. Yeah.
Yeah. There wasn't a lot of houses available.
Yeah.
I don't think you mean vacancies, but yeah. There wasn't a lot of I can't think of the word now, of course, but there weren't a lot of there wasn't a lot of houses to be able to.
I became cocky using the words right now because they all the compliment from Lucille.
Oh, you see that?
Yeah, you see what happened.
All right.
I think that's it. What do you think? What do you think? Where do you think we are going? Because I think that you're right. I think the peak that we experienced in let's say a year ago is coming down.
Oh yeah.
Even in rental units.
Oh yeah.
You don't have the line anymore. But where do you think we are going? Because there is still problem with inventory. There isn't enough inventory right now.
Yeah. I think that we're going to a really big subject to market, and I think we're going to go into a really big distressed note market. So I think for investors, we are heading into like a really good opportunity. I think for people who don't know what they're doing, they're going to see the stress of that. But I mean, for those of us who are investors who know how to handle that environment, it's going to be great. It's going to be fantastic because there's going to be a lot of subject to, because people bought houses at what, $150,000, $100,000 over what they're worth. And now they're coming back to what normal values are. My house is worth like, I don't know, $200,000, $300,000 more than what I paid for it five years ago.
$650,000, I guess.
Yeah. I'm just like, who I would never consider buying my house for that much.
Today.
You know, today. There's no way I would consider, and I wouldn't, there's no way I would even consider buying my house for what it's worth today. There, it just wouldn't happen. And I think now in this year and in the next 6 months, year coming, the prices are going to start stabilizing to what they're supposed to be, and they might even be less. But people are going to realize that the amounts that they pay, their house just isn't worth that, and they're going to be underwater really quick, and that's going to be a really great buying opportunity for investors.
Deb, I just need to jump in here for a second, folks. I need to let Frank know we were having some problems with Frank's phone. So if Frank wants to call back next week, or if you folks have another suggestion, I'm just letting him know that our lines are still open.
Now,
well, we only got like 2 minutes on, so we only got like a minute left. So
no, you can still call right now, and you will take his number when he called the station.
All right, so let's not do that. Yeah, let's not do that because Omri doesn't call the shots and I do.
Really?
Ooh, yes.
I didn't know that.
Yes. So we literally only have like a minute left. So if he doesn't mind, if he can call back next week, we should be live next week as well.
Will do.
And then we will take any questions that he has next week. Okay?
Amazing. And let's...
Don't you ever hear Larry say, he's like, when he's gone, I'm in charge? Don't you ever hear him say that?
Yeah, I know. I ignore that.
I know, but I'm in charge. It's me. Okay. Give me a little bit of power.
I'm still waiting for you to fire me.
I don't have that power.
You should.
Don't, you don't work
give her
here,
a hug.
I don't.
Give
I know.
Her a hug. Whatever you do.
Yeah. I'm calmed down a little bit. I'm a little bit more calmed down since that whole HVAC guy. I've calmed down. But Omri doesn't actually work for the school.
No.
So we can't actually fire him. So no. I guess that wouldn't really work.
That's why I don't work for the school.
So
nobody
can,
will be able to fire me.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. So I want to remind everybody that we are a live brick and mortar school. And
yes.
We are located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, 108 Corporate Drive East. And we would like you all to go to investorschooling.com to register and to attend a complimentary class this Thursday. And we'll be very, very to see you there.
Glenn says we should fire you.
Okay.
And you, Omri, are presenting this Thursday, correct?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, you're presenting. Yeah. So we are going to have the worst landlord because Omri, we always joke around that Omri is the worst landlord.
Mm-hmm.
Although I think you're getting better. But
I will bring a story. Yeah. I will bring one of my horror stories.
Okay, bring in one of your horror
stories. Scare everybody.
So that's what we'll be doing on Thursday. We'll be doing Omri as the worst landlord. And it'll be funny because Omri is naturally funny with his crazy accent. And when he says those words, like, what was it, stalker and stalker? You couldn't tell the difference. Remember that? Was it a couple weeks ago?
I'm just saying. Somebody say he's hiring a stalker, I come with binoculars. What do you want?
Come on, he's riding high from his phone call and you've got to ruin it.
Omri is awesome. I mean, if we didn't like him, we wouldn't have him here, right? Fair enough. Yeah.
So thank you everybody for listening to us today. We love you. We love our listeners.
And make sure to come to a class this Thursday at 7 p.m. at 108 Corporate Drive East in Langhorne, PA. And we look forward to seeing you in person. Come over so you can meet Omri and you can meet me, Dr. Deb. Okay?
Doctor?
Doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor Deb.
Doctor
Deb.
Thank you very much for listening to us, guys. Bye-bye.
Paid for by Investor Schooling. All opinions or statements expressed on the program are solely those of Investor Schooling or their guests and do not reflect the opinions of WPHT or Odyssey.